This public radio podcast is supported by the Society for Human Resource Management, meeting the challenges of a changing world, online at shrm.org, and by KeyBank Capital Markets, specializing in corporate and investment banking solutions for established and growing mid-sized companies. Visit key.com/KBCM.
The Food Forecast, High Grocery Bills.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. For the third time in 3 months, the government is raising its projection on how much food prices will go up this year. Tack on another 0.5%. So we're looking at about a 5% increase for the year. That's the most since 1990. It means a typical household will pay $350 more for the same grocery cart it bought last year. Some people place part of the blame for higher prices on speculation in the commodities markets. A Senate panel will look into that today. Jeremy Hobson reports from Washington.
In the last 5 years, the amount of money invested into commodities has grown 20-fold. That's largely the result of speculators gambling on commodity futures. Now, Congress wants to know what effect that's having on consumers and if lawmakers need to take action.
Just looking at what Congress has available to them right now, there's not a lot they can do.
Chad Hart is an agricultural economist at Iowa State University. He says lawmakers may need to give the Commodity Futures Trading Commission more authority to regulate a fast-changing marketplace, one in which farmers are making planting decisions based in part on Wall Street speculation. Tom Bias heads the National Farmers Union.
That money is coming in there to make money. It's not coming in there to take delivery of corn or wheat or soybeans or any other commodity that's traded.
Observers say mounting pressure to bring down prices is starting to get to the CFTC and to Congress. In Washington, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
I dare say if it weren't for oil prices, the stock markets might be having a pretty big rally right now. As it is, energy prices are keeping a lid on things. In Asia today, the markets ended about 1% lower. Same story in Europe so far. Stocks are down 1%. Wall Street had small gains yesterday. The Dow added 41 points to 13,028. The Nasdaq finished 12 points higher at 2516. And the S&P 500 climbed 1 point to 1426. Every year, the University of Michigan comes out with a survey on airline customer satisfaction. And for the most part, once again this year, there isn't any. Elisa Roth reports.
They've gotten rid of peanuts, pillows, and legroom, so no surprise then that airlines are more disappointing than ever. The one exception is Southwest, which is
very high levels of passenger satisfaction. I mean, it's almost like it belongs to a different industry.
Klaus Fornell is a business professor at the University of Michigan and founder of the American Customer Satisfaction Index. Apparently, it wouldn't take much to make flyers happier. Fornell says he expects other airlines to get rid of their hub-and-spoke models, which would make it easier for them to
take you from destination A to B, usually with your luggage and usually on time.
Don't expect things to improve anytime soon, though. Many of the airlines in the survey are in merger talks, and Fornell says limited competition means little incentive to improve customer service. In New York, I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
If you totaled up all the money you've ever spent buying cars, I'm guessing it won't add up to this. A 1961 Ferrari GT California just sold at auction for a shade under $11 million. A British radio DJ was the buyer. Obviously, he's not a public radio DJ. Anyway, if that car sounds familiar, you probably saw Ferris Bueller driving it.
The 1961 Ferrari 250 GT California. Less than 100 were made. It is his love. It is his passion. It is his fault he didn't lock the garage.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constellation Energy, global provider of fuels, power, and energy services. Committed to sound, efficient, sustainable energy solutions. Constellation.com. And by Gather.com, where friends can stay in touch. People are talking at Gather.com.
I'm sure you've heard of investment clubs. Maybe you're in one yourself. People get together, have some brie and crackers, and talk about ways they can make money. Well, here's a new spin on that. A group that meets to talk about their money and then gives it away. Here's Heidi Pickman.
Please help yourself to pizza, soda, wine, whatever else.
A group of 10 gathers on a Wednesday night in a Palo Alto, California living room. They're part of something called a giving circle. Each member has contributed $5,000, and with the help of Oakland-based Clarence Foundation, they've been learning about grassroots nonprofits that assist youth in Africa. Tonight, they've ranked the charities by how much each member would give for their efforts. Caitlin Drews reads the results.
Looking down the list, for Girls on the Go, no one said under $10,000. The lowest for garbage recyclers was $6,000.
Giving circles like this one are popping up all over the country, says the Forum of Regional Associations of Grantmakers. In 2005, the number was roughly 200. By last year, it had doubled. Daria Teutonico is with the Forum. She says giving circles offer members a chance to do more than just throw money at a problem.
Many people have been writing checks and supporting good work, but many of those people have felt that they wanted to do more. They wanted to get more connected to a solution to problems they see in their community.
Teutonico says in the past 4 years, giving circles in the U.S. have donated more than $100 million. Some have as many as 500 members, like Impact Austin in Texas. Last year, the group granted $400,000, mostly to programs for children. Other groups are smaller, like the 13-member Zawadi Circle in New Orleans. Christine Jordan helped found the group. She says the name Zawadi comes from a Swahili word for gift.
Since the focus of our giving circle is to improve the quality of life for people of African descent in New Orleans, we thought it would be appropriate to use an African term. Basically, what we're doing is trying to give a gift.
Back in Palo Alto, the Clarence Foundation group is close to deciding what their gift will be to the grassroots groups in Africa.
How about taking $500 from Girls on the Go, giving it to YIN, and calling it a day?
Yeah! Yeah!
In Palo Alto, California, I am Heidi Pickman for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.